So let's just open with a passage of Scripture. And the Scripture I feel we'd open with tonight is Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. So if you have your Bibles, could we turn to that? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, by which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that Paul in prison wrote this, and he was trying to help people understand the spiritual realm, that our fight and our battles are not against people. It's actually against forces of darkness that have influence upon this world in high places, principalities and powers of evil. And Father, we pray that you would open their eyes to see, open our hearts and our minds to understand and comprehend the mysteries of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to have revelation of your word, and help us to stand in you tonight. Thank God that you are the light of the world, and that you are our full armor of light. That, Lord, as we lift our hands to you and surrender, that you clothe us in radiance, you clothe us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that we might walk in the light as you are in the light, and darkness must flee. Lord, and fill each one of us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Set our hearts on fire, that we truly might be ministers of fire in this dark world. And help us to be beacons and lighthouses to a perverse generation that is headlong into darkness and evil. Help us, Lord, to set captives free, and help the proclamation of the gospel come forth with power. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be alive. I have, as you saw and heard me last time I spoke here, I had an experience where I died, was dead for 15 to 20 minutes, came back to life in a mortuary and walked out. That experience winds its way back to me lying in an ambulance dying, seeing my life flash before me and my mother praying for me. As I lay in that ambulance, the Lord's Prayer began to appear, and my mother encouraged me to call out to God. Thank God for the Lord's Prayer. Thank God for praying mothers who taught their children on their knees in their bedrooms how to pray. Thank God. Unfortunately, the Lord's Prayer has been relegated so many times out of schools, out of institutions, out of every level, even of government, where the prayer of the Lord has been removed. But that prayer has the power to save you when it's prayed from your heart. Now, those who call upon his name shall be saved. In that ambulance, I was saved. In that ambulance, I met the Lord. My life was changed when I stood before Jesus, and he gave me an opportunity to come back. Some days I wonder, but having fished up in Paradise Valley, I know why I came back. So my heart is to try and share something that I very rarely share. Maybe 3-4 times in my life I've shared publicly the demonic realm of what took place after this experience. So I hope it doesn't spin some of you out. But unfortunately, this is a realm that is very real. And although you may not have seen it, I'm sure you've been influenced by it in some way. Because the powers of darkness have an ability to get very close to us, become very familiar. They become so close that we almost think it's our own voice and think it's actually our own wicked, degenerate heart that's thinking up some of these evil things. Unfortunately, there is evil in the world. And the Bible says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But Jesus has come to deliver us and to take us into his kingdom. And the mystery of the gospel is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when you truly open the door of your heart, Christ will come in. I was just in Rotorua, the church where they have Jesus walking on the water. You can see it. And what's amazing is at the altar you have Christ knocking on the door out of the book of Revelations. As he knocks on the door, you find in the famous painting, which is actually in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, to the left of the altar, actually put it under lock and key, in that particular painting there's no handle, which is an interesting thought, that the artist has not put the handle on the door, but Jesus standing there with a lamp as the light of the world and knocking, which requires the person on the inside of that door to open. So Christ is often knocking on the door of our heart. But faith isn't just believing in God. Faith is actually receiving him to come in, where you open the door and say, Jesus, come in. That's the mystery of faith. Many people say, I believe in God, but they've actually never opened the door of their heart to allow him to come in. True faith in Christ isn't just believing in him, because even the devil does. It's actually receiving him as their personal Lord and Savior. So if you've come here tonight, my prayer is that the heart of God's love would flood your heart enough for you to choose to open up that door. It's a choice of faith. God gives everyone free will. He never forces himself upon you. True love allows the person to fly away, and if they come back, they truly love. And God said, I love you, and if you will truly open the door of your heart, I will come in, and you'll experience me. None of my notes, but that's normal. It's actually usually better when I don't use my notes. So anyway, I was dead, and I came back to life. Thank God Jesus is the resurrection of life. He said the sting of death is sin, not cancer, not physical death. The sting of death is sin, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And what can take away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that blood can only be applied to a repentant heart. Without repentance, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Man must turn from their sin. Man must humble themselves and turn. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when we truly turn, God comes in and cleanses us as white as snow. That's when the powers of darkness hate the power of the blood of Jesus. They loathe it. They hate his name. They hate the power of the resurrection. But to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have no fear of death. Where are we? I walked out of that hospital in 1982. The fishermen saw me and thought I was a ghost come back from the dead. They were terrified. And so they ran from me. I then went back into the small bungalow that I was renting on the beach. It was $100 US a month. I rented two rooms out, so it cost me $33 US a month. Dollar a day. Keeps the doctor away. So I was living in this little house right on the beach, and I had no idea what was about to transpire. I'd been dead. I'm now alive. I've got people freaking out. I'm trying to grapple with it. I have no understanding of the Bible because I've never read it. And I go to sleep like most people do. Do you go to sleep? As I woke up in the middle of the night, my body was shaking and shivering like a pig. Cold sweat. It's as though something was terrifying my physical body. But inside, I was deep at peace. Okay, deep peace. I looked to the window, just, you know how you can kind of in a half daze look around, what the heck's causing me to freak out? As I looked towards the window, I saw, and this is the closest I can find on the internet, it's not very good, but I saw 6 to 7, it looked like men standing at the window. But as I continued to look closer, I realized that when I looked closer into their eyes, they weren't human. They weren't round pupils. They were slit-like, like an animal. So I had I had 6 to 7, I realized, not human beings, but spiritual beings of darkness with eyes that were literally slit like a serpent. How'd you like to wake up to that? As I'm looking at them, I can feel the intense evil and malice coming from them. As I looked, realizing they weren't people looking at me, I heard them speak to me. They said, you are ours and we are coming home. Now, the scriptures have a very amazing passage that Jesus taught. He says, now when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, doesn't find it. And then it says, I'll return to my house where I came. And when it comes, he finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. And it goes in and takes along with itself seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. This is the way with this evil generation. Little did I know that my lifestyle, how many have had lifestyles that are not the most saintly? Anyone had some degenerate lifestyles? Only a few of you, okay. Very godly looking people. Amazing how faces can lie. Anyhow, so I'm lying here. My life is not exactly exemplary. It's pretty much a train wreck. And I can guarantee you that one of those demons were most likely mine. When I died, my human spirit left its body and returned to God. So unless someone's praying to the dead or trying to talk to a dead corpse, which some people do, thinking that the human spirit lays there for 3 days and they can communicate with it, the majority of people know that when the person dies, the person you've gone. But if you've had an unclean spirit in you, an evil spirit in you that's been part of your lifestyle, that thing, why would it hang around a corpse? So it left. How would you like to be delivered completely of every demon and every unclean spirit? Die. So anyhow, it's the power of the cross, isn't it? No longer I that live, Christ in me. Dead to sin, isn't it? So this demon left. In this area that I was living, the men were involved in voodoo, so quite easy to find 6 others. Shock of all shocks, they found that God had brought me back to life. Just as much as I was shocked, I was alive, they were just as shocked. They were once, one of them, hopefully not all of them, one of them was once in me, or affected me. I was mostly not demon-possessed, but how many know you can be demonized? How many know they hang around flesh? Flies hang around smelly, stinking, rotten stuff. And the fruit of the flesh is immorality, drunkenness, adultery, anger, perversions. This is what the demons hang around. Evil, dark, horrible sin. And when you habitually sin, you become addicted to it. The Bible says you become a slave to it. Well, these demons have now, one of them, hopefully not all mine, I said, has come back. And now they said, you are ours and we are coming home. How'd you like that first day back on planet Earth, having just seen God, seen the open heaven, the new earth, the glory realm, and stood before the holiness of Christ? I mean, that's a rude awakening back to planet Earth. Well, I had no idea other than I am terrified. What the heck's that? So when we were kids and you had the boogeyman outside, what would you do? You'd turn the lights on, wouldn't you? Mum, there's something outside. It turns out it's a hedgehog snuffling on, eating, you know. So I'm freaking out. This is not hedgehogs, mate. This is the boogeyman. This is the real deal. This isn't some. And I'm wondering why these demons are looking at me. So I grab my torchlight and shine it towards the window. Nothing there. So I get out of the bed, pull my mosquito net out, get up, flick on the lights. The whole room floods with light. Now, you understand, I'm pretty freaked out, okay? You got these boys sitting outside. They seem, there's a whole bunch of them. I'm walking across the bedroom floor, and my legs start to get jelly-like. What the? And I come down, I can see why men snap. I've met people snap mentally, and I tell you what, I came pretty close to snapping right there. As I went down on the ground, I started to shake a little bit, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose the plot here. And I then thought, well, I'm not a nutter. What the heck's happened to have changed my world for me to see, not just feel evil, but to see it, like I've never seen before? And why is that evil focused upon me? What have I done for them to be attacking me? So I sat there, and God, second by second, reran the last 24 hours. The stings from the jellyfish, the prayer in the ambulance, the darkness of the demonic realm as I went through Hades, coming into the presence of God, and God then giving me an opportunity to come back. As I'm lying there, literally shaking on the floor, I wasn't lying, I was sitting, shaking on the floor, I said, God, What was it? He said, the Lord's Prayer. That's what saved you last night. I said, what must I do? He said, deliver us from evil. How many have heard that one? Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As I heard that, I thought, that's part of the Lord's Prayer. God, can you deliver me from the evil that's outside my room right now, outside these windows, so that I can go to sleep? So I prayed that. As I prayed that, he said, turn the lights out, son, and go to sleep. I said, well, that's easy for you to say. You're up there, I'm down here, and I've got a pack of demons outside my window. And I thought, well, if I don't turn the lights out and go to sleep, I will be some kind of a wacko who's going to have the lights on every night for the rest of my life. How many know there? I hope you're not one of them, but how many know that people are so afraid that they sleep with the night lights on at night as adults? Now, I know people that do that. They're terrified of the dark, and they've got good reason, some of them. So I sat there in the room thinking, well, I'll just wait. I'll turn the lights out. I've got my torchlight, my diving torch. If they come back, I'll zap them. For some reason, I knew the light, they didn't like it. It's fascinating that most deeds of evil are done in darkness. That's why you go into some of the nightclubs, you turn the lights on, oh my gosh, you can see a few red eyes in there too. So I'm sitting here in this, on this floor waiting for the demons to come back. They don't come back. So I thought, well, the power of that prayer is incredible. I pray the entire Lord's Prayer, jump into bed and go to sleep. Next morning I wake up, nothing different. Had a great sleep. Walked down into the kitchen. Here's a New Zealand and Australian guy that I'd rented the other two rooms to. And I'm watching them talk to each other. As I'm listening to them talk, I hear two other conversations. I can hear not what they're saying, but I can hear their heart of what they actually think of the other person. I'm watching this going on. Then one of them turns to me and starts talking to me. And I can actually hear what he thinks of me. I said, God, what's that? He said, you're seeing people in a new light. I said, I didn't really like many people before this, you know. I got Amanda Lighthouse. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How would you like to be hearing people's hearts, not what comes out of their mouth? It hasn't changed since 35 years. I can still do that. It's interesting, actually. Now you're all going, what the heck's he thinking of me? Well, I'm freaked out. I'm going, what the heck? I then thought, well, this is pretty spaced out. And I saw these guys starting to pull bongs in the house, starting to pull a few cones. And I thought, forget that. Let's get rid of the flipping bongs. Now the boys there started spinning out. What's wrong with you? You're telling us to get rid of our dope? Now, you're trying to tell a bunch of surfers who've been pulling bongs for years to get the dope out of the house, you better basically own it or lease it. Well, I did. So I said, get your flipping gear out of here. Well, that spun them out. Next night, go to sleep. Wake up in the middle of the night. I've got them not outside. I've got them, here's my mosquito net, here's me, and they are right here. Seven of them have walked through the wall and are literally hovering, standing, trying to move onto my physical body as I am sleeping. My body is shaking and shivering, and I'm literally an inch away from them. But guess what? The Bible says, greater is he within me than he's within the world. That no demon has any power over me, Christ in me. So they can't enter unless I choose to open up the door and allow them back in. How many know that? That's called sin. So I'm thinking, what the heck? So I grab my torch, shine it, and sure enough, the physical light seems to scare them. Trouble is, I have no idea if they are under the bed. I've got to get to the main light switch. So before Star Wars turned up with their Jedi swords, mate, I'm doing this. And I'm thinking, when that thing came out, zzz, zzz, I thought, I've seen one of those. I did that in 1982. So I'm walking around with my Star Wars sword, Saber of Light. Don't you love it? It's coming out. Has it come out today, hasn't it? I'm sure you've seen it. So here I am. I walk up. Turn the light switch on, light floods the entire room again, I walk over, start to have a bit of a meltdown, and then God takes me through the testimony. A lot of people forget their testimony. But But God reburnt it, literally seared it into my mind, second by second, thought by thought, impression, my conversation with him, his conversation with me. So it's almost impossible for me to forget it. I had one guy who was a forensic lawyer in Singapore, German gentleman. He brought me out to Singapore to preach to all his engineering colleagues. And I did it after the third meeting. He came up to me and he said, "Ian, I know you're not lying." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "My job after 30 years of forensic corporate law is to find out if people are lying. And one thing I've discovered in people who lie, they tell the same story verbatim, exactly the same every time. Your story, I've heard you speak it three times, you go all over the place. But you can come straight back to it because that story is, you can come anywhere back onto that story. Someone who's lying can't deviate from their lie." It's an interesting thought. And here's a forensic corporate lawyer who treats very smart men who lie through their teeth and rip people off. So I'm here struggling with the fact of my sanity. God tells me to pray. I've literally got these boys in the room, you know what I mean? You understand? And I'm freaking out in my skull. Trouble is, when I pray, guess what? Gone. So I go back to sleep, which is what you do. As I went back to sleep, next day I was getting a little bit more spun out because I was now getting a little bit paranoid. Anyone got a bit paranoid? So I was trying to make sure everything was in the house was gone. I was trying to make the house clean. It's called clean house. So I went to sleep, woke up, and knock, knock on my window, and here's this beautiful young girl that I've been trying to chase and get closer to for quite a few months. And this young Creole girl standing at the door speaking to me saying, "Ian, I'd like to see you." I'm thinking, sex, no. Red eye demons, no, forget it. Trouble is, I'm going to just go back a bit. I go to the door. She says, "Come to the door and talk to me." As I come to the door to talk to her and open the door, I look into her eyes and guess what's in her eyes? Her voice changes from a woman to a man, which I'd heard with mediums and clairvoyants when they invite what they think is the dead ancestral spirit. It's actually a demon that knows a lot about the sin of that family. Ancestral spirits, these are demons who know a heck of a lot about that family. This woman's voice changed and said, "You're coming with us tonight." Well, I'm thinking, I see you, girl, where's the us? I'm fairly strong, I've been surfing for a long time, and this is a young girl. I have physical strength to should have been able to smash that door shut, but I couldn't move it. Her fingertips were touching the door. Anyone that's worked in pubs and the bouncers, I've talked to them, I've been in bar fights, you watch when the skinny little runt with his eyes go red kicks off, he starts picking up the bouncers and throwing them around like rag dolls. And it's got nothing to do with his kung fu or his martial arts, he just got demonized. Guys in the psych wards know when, that's why they get the big boys to jump on a little scrawny kid, because suddenly this child goes into a demonic rage. And they try and knock them down with drugs, and then they try and straitjacket them because they can physically do damage and seriously hurt people. Because it's not the human spirit, it's the demonic spirit that's come in trying to use that human body to actually kill. In fact, you can see that in Africa after being in Rwanda and Burundi. I've talked to people who survived it in London. And for 3 days, some of them would just go completely demonized and massacre people and then come out of it and can't remember what happened. Do you realize the demonic hate humanity? Demons hate them. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. And you know why they have no physical body? In Ezekiel 37, isn't it? Verse 18, God took fire from the midst of Lucifer and the angelic host and torched their bodies to ash. So they have no physical bodies. That's why we don't fight against physical demons. We're fighting against spiritual demons of darkness that once had angelic bodies. And these fallen angels are looking for a host. They're looking for something to come into. Well, this one had come into this girl who was involved in voodoo. So I'm looking at a beautiful young girl, mate. I've just opened the door, and here she is, full of demons. I can then hear, through the crack in the door, steel door, the us coming. The unspoken world in this particular part of the area, if you touch one of the local girls, you better marry them or you will be dead. So I'm standing there going, God, what's going to happen? He said, if you, in a second, these men are coming on the side of the house, they will drag you out and stone you to death. I'm going, God, help. I can't close the door. I can hear them getting ever closer. Fear is paralyzing me. Next minute, my right hand lifts up, and I went, in Jesus' name. Well, I have never used Jesus as a name other than a swear word. Suddenly, a word came out of my mouth, which had been a swear word, but this was not a swear word. This power hit this woman in the chest and physically picked her up and threw her 6 to 7 feet through the air. Thank God for the power of the name of Jesus. As she hit the ground, the demon inside of it was mostly shocked that it even used the name of Jesus or even could even call upon that name. And out of the eye of this child, this young girl, beautiful young girl, it said, I'll kill you. And I watched it launch like a cobra. I'd seen cobras throw themselves. This woman launched off the ground and literally started coming up through the air towards me. Supernaturally. A lot of the martial arts, I was straight demonic. I've seen it. Swords, try and cut them, they can't cut them. I've watched them with kavate, they stick the skewers through and hang from meat hooks. I've seen people delivered from those demons, and I tell you what, they're like caged animals when those demons come out of them. You better make sure when you're praying for them, you got yourself sorted under the blood of Jesus and don't have sin in your own life. Otherwise, you're going to be wrecked. Just like the sons of Sceva in the Bible, they said, we know about Paul, we know about Jesus, who are you, Jack? And how to go, rip them to bits. So I'm standing here, I've just said the name of Jesus, which I've never understood the power of it. Suddenly these demons do, but they are shocked knowing that I know very little and start launching towards me. I slam the door shut and lock it. I'm now a nervous wreck. Anyone had the jelly legs again? Oh, I was thinking, what the heck? I hated horror. I loathed horror movies. Hated them as a child. This is worse than Freddy on Elm Street, trust me. I was standing there shaking like a leaf, and God said, pray. So I prayed again. He said, go to sleep. So I went to sleep. The Bible says the eye is the window or lamp to the body. If your eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. And then the light that is in it is darkness. How great is the darkness? Trust me, when I was looking into her soul and into her eyes, were demon-possessed. Do you understand? I was looking at not the person. I was looking at a spirit that had taken over that person's vessel. And when you see them, people in Rajneesh, different religious things, you watch them, there's a literal darkness that comes over them. And in their eyes, there's no light. When I became a Christian, what struck me was the light shining out of Christians' eyes. I could tell if they were Christians. I could see the radiance and the light shining out of their souls. Why? Because the light of heaven, Christ, had come in. I'd been in so many clubs where people looked like their eyes looked like, I won't say, but they were quite red. Roadmaps. Says these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, whose name? The name of Jesus. We will what? Cast out demons and speak with new tongues. Mark 16:17. So I'd use the name of Jesus to what do? Take down a demon. But that demon won't come out of that person unless that person chooses to repent, renounce the demonic stuff, and give their life over to Christ. But I had authority in the name of Jesus to stop that person from killing me. I've had that happen a number of times in my life where people have literally tried to kill me. So I'm thinking, I'm gone to sleep. Here's this poor demon-possessed girl on the ground, and thank God the scriptures say, what is it? Here's the scripture just talked about. When an unclean spirit cried out, they're trying to cast it out, it'll destroy us. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. He cast the unclean spirit out. Wouldn't it be nice to know that God can literally have the power and authority to cast unclean spirits out of people? In his name. But you want to be free of it before it gets cast out. So here I am, I'm sound asleep the next morning, next night. I'm about to leave the country because at this point I've hastened my flight out of the country. I've got a taxi guy coming at 5 in the morning, and at about 2 in the morning, knock, knock on the window. We have steel bars on these windows to stop people from thieving and theft. It's a fairly exciting kind of country to live in. You kind of prison, you bar yourself in. As she knocked on the window, I could see it was this young girl. And I thought, forget it. Red glowing eyes from last night. Forget that, Jack. I ain't going to talk to you. And she kept knocking. And I thought, no. Then it all went quiet. And then I looked to the window, and to my horror, a big arm was coming in, wasn't hers, and was opening the main window. I thought, well, there's bars there. Fine. Can't get me. Do whatever you like. Next minute, stones start coming through the window, hitting my mosquito net, hitting the wall. I was getting more and more freaked out, and then it went quiet again, and I rolled over and looked, and here was a spear halfway across the room being shoved towards me, and it was in a few minutes, few seconds, it was going to stick me, and I'd be killed. I remember asking God later, why were they trying to kill me? The Lord said, son, because of what you've seen and what you could actually accomplish in my kingdom on this earth, the enemy was going to, if I wouldn't turn back to darkness, would remove me, take me out. Lose one to heaven, but just take me out right there on the spot. I'm saying, God, what can I do? I'm paralyzed with fear. I've just got it. He said, your flashlight, your torch. I said, what? He said, your torch. So I grabbed it, shone it towards the window, and here were three men, demons inside them, red demons, just like I'd seen in the girl. And then the girl there screamed as the light hit their eyes, full blast. And I said, God, what? He said, man, when you go for Christ, what do? You push the thing forward, the cray, and you pull it out. So I grabbed the spear, pushed it forward, and pulled it out of his hand. Threw the spear past his face and saw these three men as I shone the torch. Have you ever seen dogs cower when someone picks up a stone and they back off? They want to go you, but they can't because you've got the upper hand. I watched three men and a woman cower back from the physical light as they went back across away from the house. At this point, I didn't sleep. Sat there with my two surfboards and my backpack, waiting for 5 o'clock for my taxi to arrive, for Raj to arrive. Unfortunately, Raj at 5:30 hadn't arrived, unusual, so I sent the New Zealand guy down. I told them we're going surfing. I was then going to go to the airport, but I was going to take them to spot X, the secret spot. And so they said, well, what's going on? So they ran down to the village, and as they got down to the village, he'd come back and said, look, you're not going in the car, mate. Someone stuck steel rebar rods right through his radiator and stuffed his car. The whole village is in turmoil. What on earth's going on? And I said, well, it's not good. That's our only cab in town. I said, but there's another guy called Raj who's up in Katrabon. Can you please jump on a bus? Don't tell anyone. Go and get him to come down. And they said, what are you into, mate? What are you into? Is it drugs? What's going on? What's happening here? Well, I didn't exactly say I got a pack of demons trying to kill me. You use your noggin. I said, look, can't explain it, but I need to get out of town, like today. Can you help me? Yeah, we can help you. Half an hour later, Raj pulls up in his Austin Cambridge outside. My mate runs in, this New Zealand guy, and said, look, there's a bunch of Creoles out there with sticks and rocks kicking off, and it looks like they want to do some harm. Have they got guns or anything, mate? What's going on? I said, look, I can't explain it, but can you put my surfboard up on the rack, tie it on, get my backpack in, and then come and get me? He used to be an SAS. Fortunately, the New Zealand guy was an ex-SAS from New Zealand. The other guy was a Bass Strait oil rigger. We call him Gnome. He built like a gnome too. Big red beard. And so they came and got me. As we walked, they charged. These guys with spears and stones and stuff had to go. He said, get in the car. And he charged them. But it was just bluff. As he charged them, they backed off enough for us to get in the car and gone. Well, I'm sitting in a car thinking, welcome, planet Earth, 3 days. I've had demon-possessed woman. I've got a pack of people trying to kill me. People are sticking steel rebar rods through radiators. Something's trying to take me out. It's not that... You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out. You got that? You don't have to be that dumb. So I got to the airport in Mauritius, and flew out. As I flew out, the Argentinian war and the Falklands broke out. I thought, great, I'll get home, and I'll put an M16 in my hand, and it'll all be over again. So I'm flying, and I'm flying to Perth, and as I fly into Perth, my brother picks me up. He's just got out of the army. He's living in Fremantle. And I try and tell him a story, but my brother, he looks at me thinking, whoa, should we go and have a few drinks first? So we go and have a few drinks down in Fremantle. And he said, have you put your head in a gas oven or something, mate? Have you taken too much drugs? I said, no, mate. No. I sold him his first pound of dope into Wairu for the camp. So I got my brother hooked on this stuff. So I'm trying to tell my brother, this is all no good. This is, you need to get rid of this stuff. He said, look, let's talk about it tomorrow. So I said, well, where am I sleeping? He said, oh, my mate's up in Nepal, and you can stay in his room. So I go to sleep. In the middle of the night, wake up, and I have a whole bunch of white-eyed demons floating around the room having a go at me. Well, I had enough knowledge to think, well, I know the power of the Lord's Prayer, get rid of them, but I gave them a little bit of lip. I thought, what the heck are they doing? Jump on a plane and follow me all the way to God's own country? What, they've come from Mauritius all the way here? I didn't realize every country's got its own. You don't have to import them. But we do. So I walked around, turned the light on, walked around the room, ready to pray and use the name of Jesus. And as I do, I walk past the fireplace, and here's a little Buddha sitting on the ground with rose petals and joss sticks. As I'm looking at that thing on the fireplace, the Lord spoke to me and said, the white-eyed demons come out of this idol. I thought, oh, flip, that makes sense. I'd been around Buddhist temples, I'd been around all kinds of stuff, and I'd felt that something in them were looking at me. I had a spiritual sensitivity. Now I realize, oh, now we got it. Those demons, different type ones, are inside these things. Not just in people, they're actually in idols. Ha. And I thought, well, I used to be into all this Buddhism stuff. And of course, the third eye is where they actually project their spirits out and do tiki tours out there in the spiritual realm. Trouble is, you open up your body for demon possession. Then I used to use my body in forms of yoga and it worships all the Hindu deities. And I realized that my yoga and all my movements in yoga, which I did to improve my surfing rather than going into gym and pumping steel, I actually had done that to improve my surfing and balance. And God showed me all the yoga positions were worshiping Hindu gods. We're supposed to use our body to worship the Lord, lift up our hands, worship Him in song, and use our entire body to glorify the Father. So I figure now pretty quickly that these things, idols, Ganesh, Shiva, Vishnu, Kali Ma, Sahi Baba, all the stuff that I've been praying to, which all the New Age people are trying to teach you now, are called spirit guides, are demons. There's only one spirit that's holy, it's called the Holy Spirit. Every other spirit is a demonic spirit. There's one spirit, only one, it's holy. And it's called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. I was now encountering the Holy Spirit speaking to me, teaching me and comforting me. And when I had stood before God, I'd felt love and peace and joy and comfort, which is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I had experienced the light of the Holy Spirit, which was glorifying the Son. So the presence of the Holy Spirit was actually in me, but with me. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I was being led by the Spirit. Do you understand? Holy Spirit leads us to teach us all that Christ has taught, leads us to understand this. So I am now being led by the Spirit, God speaking to me audibly and saying, these demons come out of these idols. That's why God said to burn them, destroy them. Man, when I got home, I had a pretty big job to do. Anyhow, so I prayed. The white-eyed demons, that's what He said, come out of the idol. Let's read the scriptures. They served their idols. They became snares to them. Even sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. What? The idols are what? Demons. This is thousands of years ago this has been written. They used to offer them to Moloch, human sacrifice. Nothing different nowadays with abortion. Demons. Getting people to take life, kill. They sacrificed to idols, polluted them with their blood. I then suddenly realized that I'd been an absolute messed up. So I told my brother, and the next morning I said, what's your mate into? He said, oh, he's trained to be a Buddhist monk. He's gone up to Nepal. I said, what a great vocation. So I thought, I'm out of here. I'm not going to stay many any longer in this flipping house. I'm not going to smash that idol. It's not mine. I'm leaving. So I flew to Melbourne. My mate picked me up, and I went surfing with him down in Flinders. As we're surfing together, he said, what's going on, Ian? Because he was trying to give me a pipe of hashish as I was driving with him in his ute. I said, no, mate. He said, you surf? I think I surf. And he said, so we surfed. I thought, I've lost interest in surfing. He said, what's going on? I tried to tell him my story. Years later, I'm actually in Melbourne. I actually spoke to him and prayed with him and led him to the Lord. I then flew up to Sydney because I'm en route. I'm taking all my surfing spots before I get back. I'm heading back for my brother's wedding in Thames. Flying to Sydney, my girlfriend picks me up, one of my girlfriends. And she picks me up. She's going, let's have sex. I'm going, I don't think so. She said, you haven't gone gay on me while you've been away. I said, no, there's not a gay bone in my body, dear. But I'm not having sex with you. Are you sure? I'm sleeping on the couch. She said, well, do you still go to clubs? I said, I think so. I think so. I said, who's playing? She said, Men at Work. No, not Men at Work, Midnight Oil, down at the Narrabeen Club. And I said, yeah, I'll go and have a listen. We'll come down to the club. Went down to the club, went to the bar, got my beers, turned around, and as I turned around into the nightclub, hanging off the ceiling were hundreds of demons. And they looked at me as I looked at them. I thought, oh, what a wonderful flipping pack of heat. Oh, thank you very much. Put my beers down and walked out. And only walked out of one other bar and not drank my beer, and that was in Ramada Inn in Christchurch. And I got propositioned by the barman and then the guy behind me. I'm old school. I can't care what you actually think because I'm sick of people's PC. So here I am. I am walking out of a club. My girlfriend can't understand it. I've just figured out the clubs that I frequent are full of demons. I tell you what, the clubs that you've been going to, I guarantee they're full of demons. If you had your eyes open, you'd see them. You wouldn't want to put your foot in there. Even a strong Christian would have to think twice about putting their foot in there. But many people don't have a clue what they're doing. Because the music you listen to is so demonically inspired, half of it, I actually destroyed all my cassettes and burnt the whole lot. You need to have great discernment to discern what's going on, the spirit that wrote some of that stuff. Anyhow, that's the way it is. My wife's looking at me. We'll talk later, honey. So my girlfriend said to me, what's going on? You're not wanting to sleep with me. You don't even go in the club. I said, I'm flying back to New Zealand. So I rang my parents to pick me up at Auckland. Scriptures say, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual forces of wickedness. Does it make sense? And how did God deal with Lucifer? It's Ezekiel 28, not 38, sorry, verse 18. I brought fire from the midst of you, consumed you, and turned you to ash. That's how God dealt with Lucifer, with the devil. He's a spiritual being. That's why he hates the fire, which will be in the final judgment. And when they're chucked into the lake of fire, Lucifer will be tormented by the fire and brimstone because it's the holy manifest presence of God. He hates it. He hates it. Not only was his angelic body torched, his spiritual body will be tormented by the fire. So then I jumped in the plane and flew out of Sydney and flew back into Auckland. As I'm flying back into Auckland, I'm listening to, I think it was Men at Work and my Walkman. I couldn't find a photograph of a Walkman. I was actually going to... Anyone know what a Walkman is? You're going retro, aren't you? So I'm listening to this, and over the music, I'm kind of talking to God, going, what's happened to me? I'm not taking drugs. I'm not wanting to sleep around. I don't even want to surf, and I don't even want to go to clubs. What the heck's going on? He said, you're a reborn Christian. I said, I have never heard of that. Do you have to die and come back to life? What's reborn mean? He said, yeah, and you were dead in your sins, but when you prayed the Lord's Prayer in the ambulance, you were born again. I said, I don't know what the heck that is. So I got out of the plane. Normally they'd have done a strip search, the countries I've been in, and they'd have x-rayed my board and everything, but for some bizarre reason, the New Zealand immigration just let me straight through. As I walked through, I didn't realise how much the poison in my body had caused my body to lose weight. And it would be nice to get that again, wouldn't it, dear? Dreams are free. I'm prosperous. So here I am, I walk in looking like I've been on heroin for 10 years, and my dear mother sees me, my father's there, and my other girlfriend, but the girlfriend that I really liked. Little did I realise she'd become a Christian while I was away. In the Hamilton AOG, she got born again. So I'm sitting in the car driving home, and my mum and dad's driving down the road, he said, son, what's the most exciting thing and memorable thing that's happened to you while you've been away for the past 2 years? I said, well, Dad, it's a bit hard to explain, but I died, saw heaven and hell, and I'm a born-again Christian. Well, my dad's eyes went red, nearly smashed the steering wheel. My father has done what's called a rebirth ritual through Freemasonry, through the lodge. Anyone heard of that? The Freemasons, well, they hoodwink them, feign death, stick them into a coffin and bring them out, rebirth them. Well, my father, I didn't realise, had got unfortunately demonically affected by that ritual. Because they make a death oath on their life and their throat slit and their heart and bowels ripped out. It's straight from the pit of hell. If you're in the lodge, you need to get right out of it. Thank God Bill Sobrisky used to teach about this, but I don't think anyone's talking about this stuff anymore. So here I am. I've got my father, red eyes. I could see it in the mirror, and I could get the impact. How would you like to have your father demonized? Welcome to the family. He said, never talk about this again. Well, my girlfriend over here, she's thinking I've found out that she's a born-again Christian. I'm mocking her out. She thinks it's impossible for me to be saved. She thinks I'm a complete write-off. My mum doesn't know what born again is because she's Anglican. We go to church, we're all Christians because we're being christened and confirmed. She hasn't got a clue what reborn is, has never read a Bible, but she's a good Anglican. She knows God, she just doesn't know any terminology. Just like most Catholics, so many of them know God, they just don't know any of the terminology. And they get confused because the priests have never taught them. See, here I am, my father is basically demonized, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, wonderful. Kill conversation, get home, go to sleep, middle of the night, wake up, and guess who's in the house? Bible says when the head of the house is not following God, then there's some other things come into the home. You can go from different homes, and I can sense what's going on in different homes based upon what attacks me that night. In fact, I hate hotels. I'd rather sleep in a Christian home. Give them a Christian home any time. I don't care if they've got little ponies and I don't care what room I get, mate. I can sleep like a baby in some of these Christian homes because they usually give me the kids' room or something, you know what I mean? And I hate hotels because they're just full of stuff that's just not good. People say, why don't you? I won't go in a hotel. I'll spend half the time fighting and praying against the demons that are in there. Just give me a house. I'll go and sleep on the floor, mate. So I've got these demons in there, so I basically have a go, start rebuking them in the name of Jesus and start praying out loud. But of course, across the hallway is two open doors, and my father and my mother are across the hallway in their master bedroom. Here's their son coming home from 2 years, telling them that he's reborn, that he's died, and casting demons out of the house. Isn't that a great introduction? So my father, who's wide awake, is screaming out, what the flippin' heck are you doing, you nutter? I said, Dad, sorry, just bad dream. Shut the door, turn the light on and say, God, what must I do? He said, read a Bible. I said, well, I don't have a Bible. He said, your father's got one. Go and ask him for one now. Yeah, sure. I'm going to go in and ask Dad, demonized Dad, who's now thinking I'm a nutter, that I'm going to get a Bible from him. I've never seen him with a Bible. What the heck? We've never had a Bible in the house that I know of. Little I realised the Masons had their Bibles, you know. And so I'm walking, sitting there, battling with it, and I know that God's not going to let me off the hook, so I have to pluck up the courage to physically get out, walk across the hallway, and here's my dad reading his Bible, the Reader's Digest. Mum's asleep through an earthquake. Mum's sound asleep. Dad's looking at me. What's wrong, son? You nutter. I said, nothing wrong with me, Dad. I want to ask a favour of you. Dad said, what might that be, son? I said, could I read a Bible? Mother! Mother! Wakes Mum up. Mum, well, what's wrong, honey? You know? And I said, your son, he wants a Bible. He said, which one do you want? Do you want mine or your mother's? I said, I didn't know there were two. Where does it all begin? He said, mine. I said, that'll do. Then give me yours. Didn't know they'd torn it in half. So he gave me his Bible. I walked into the bedroom, opened it up. Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. I thought, well, that's a pretty big statement to make. But I suppose if he's God, he can do that. Forget the 7,000 years he spoke, it came into existence. The earth was formless and void. Darkness over the surface. I thought, darkness, I've seen that. And the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Right there, I knew what I'd just seen. That this was God's book. I had seen the separation of the two kingdoms, and I knew now that there was a spirit that had moved over the surface of the deep, which was the Holy Spirit, which had been leading me and speaking to me. I thought, this is extraordinary. So I began reading. Within 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible. began to see don't consult mediums, began to see all of the stuff about coming before the Lucifer coming before God and challenging Job about how he had lived his life, and then Joshua. And I watched and began to think, oh my gosh, there's been a battle for a long time over the realms of good and evil, but they're two kingdoms, they're separate. I've seen the separation. Then I got in the New Testament, and my girlfriend said to me, will you come to church? I said, well, no, I'm not coming to church. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I've met God, but God's not in church. I've been there and done that before. So she started crying, which girls do. She went off to a bedroom, and her mother worked on me. That's what mothers do. She said, look, Ian, you've upset her. Upset Karen. You should go up to church with her. If you don't like it, you can always just walk out. I thought, well, if it'll stop her crying and keep her quiet, I'll go up with her to the church. So I walked up from Hamilton River. There were potters, and as I walked up the hill, I said, where's the church? She said, I don't know the church. She said, oh, it used to be the supermarket. I thought, oh, we're going to a supermarket church. You think I'm crazy, you know. As I walked into the car park of the Hamilton AOG, I stood there, and I said, yeah, what kind of church is this? She said, oh, it's an AOG. I said, what's that? I've heard of Baptists, Anglicans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Brethren. What's AOG? AOG, what's that? She said, Assemblies of God. I said, well, it's a pretty spacey name, but whatever. As I walked in the car park, I looked, and as I looked at the building, the light that I'd seen in heaven was billowing out, shining out of the physical building. I stopped. She kept walking, didn't realize I'd stopped. She thought I was going to do a run, and she said, are you coming? I said, oh, yeah, I'm coming. What kind of building is this? What are you guys doing there? Because I could see. I walked in. And here, as I walked into the room, there were people, hands raised up, going, shalalama, and I thought, what on earth's going on here? These are a bunch of weirdos. I looked, and there's a whole bunch of chairs up there, couldn't see any stained glass windows, couldn't see anything that looked like church to me, and yet there was a wooden cross, but there was no one on it, it was empty. Then I saw a bunch of people walk out, and stand. As I'm looking at them, I see one guy, his face is literally shining, like I'd read in the Bible that Jesus on the trans, his face was literally shining. I've seen it in Moses, light was coming out of his face. Everyone else started talking, then he got up and talked, thought, oh gosh, that guy's hearing straight from heaven. So he began to preach and began to speak, and as I'm listening to him, I could hear the demons saying, don't listen to him, get out of here. And I said, get lost. How did you even get your way in? Guess what? The demons don't worry about church. They'll try and sometimes join it. If they get in the pulpit and preach, they will have a go too. If they can get into Peter the apostle, don't you think they can't get into someone? So I'm standing there listening, and the guy said, those who are burdened and heavy laden, come and find rest. My take up my yoke, Jesus said, and it's gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. He said, those who need to come now, stand up now and come forward. There's 1,000 people in that meeting. Next minute I'm standing up and thought, you idiot, sit down. Sit up and down, you idiot. I looked for my girlfriend. She was doing shalalalaba over here. I thought, she's no use. Had no idea she was actually praying in tongues. I never knew what that was. But it didn't upset me. It was just weird. So next minute, my feet start walking. I thought, oh, you moron. So I'm walking down the aisle. This seems a very long aisle, trust me. Then the preacher said, look, these people are coming to the Lord. Just reach out your hand and bless them. And I thought, no, they don't want to be blessing me, mate. If they knew what I'd done, they wouldn't be blessing me. They'd be cursing me. I've sold drugs to some of these kids. So anyhow, as they're blessing me, I feel the power of this love and presence that I'd felt in heaven hit me. Having been tormented for the last little while with demons, having the presence of God, I don't think many Christians have a clue what anointing they carry. I don't think they have any clue the blessing that they carry and what they can release in the spirit realm to people. As this was hitting me wave after wave, I stood there shaking, and next minute tears began to just pour out of me. As he's standing there, the guy who was preaching said, look, I'm going to come down and pray for people and pray that God will really touch their hearts. And I put my head down, closed my eyes, said, God, keep the man completely away from me. I don't want him anywhere near me because he knows you, and if he sees me, he'll see everything that I've done wrong. Please get him away from me. God didn't listen to a thing I said. The guy stepped down from the platform, and the first person he came and stood, I could see his white shoes. It was the good old Pentecostal days, wasn't it? Getting ready for heaven, mate. White shoes. Oh, dear Lord, help us. I've got none now. Rip curl. So he just must have done something with his hand, because I could feel something like heat and power hit me from above. And literally as it hit me, I suddenly had an extraordinary encounter. The power of God hit me, went through me. And within a split second, I was caught back up into heaven. And I was standing before the Lord. I was on earth, but the whole heavens had opened up. And I was now standing before him, Christ in me, heaven on earth. Literally had happened. And I was then weeping. I was about to fall on the ground, crying so much, because of the love that I could feel. And fortunately, a Messianic Jew put his hand on my back, who ended up discipling me, and I felt the power through his hand hit me, and it gave me ability to stand, because otherwise I was on a screaming heap on the ground. Thank God for other people who come around you. You better thank God, your Christian friends that have brought you to church and have seen you through all the rough places, man. You thank God for them. Because if you think you can do it by yourself, you're sadly mistaken. God's done it so that there is a ability for us to work together and to help each other. When we're weak, someone else is strong. When we don't have that gifting, someone else has got that. To help us through the journey. Well, I stood there weeping and crying, and my girlfriend was all happy and giving me hugs, and they take me out the back. What happens if you get saved? They take you out the back. And they took me out the back, and they pulled out the Billy Graham Steps to Peace with God, you know. Said, do you believe in God? I said, yeah, I've seen him. Well, that started changing the conversation. And the guy said, well, I've seen him too. And he had been cutting up cocaine, and Jesus walked through the wall and talked to him. So that was a very good conversion. So he wasn't using, he was just selling, because he was a Jew, he was making money. So here, if you don't serve God, you serve money. So here I am talking to a guy, and he said, Ian, will you come along and look at this bit in the Bible? And I said, well, I haven't got to that bit yet. He said, it's in John. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who come to me shall no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I've said, I've seen him. I want to walk with him. I've met him. That's the person. Because I hadn't got up to Revelations yet to see that he looked like this, face shining like the sun, white robes reaching his feet. And I was taken out, I was blown out by the fact that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who come to me shall no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And this is the amazing thing. Coming to Jesus, who is the light, he will literally guide you out of the darkness. He will guide you continually and keep you walking with him through these days. Because the days are going to get so dark that no man can work. Darkness is coming upon the earth where no man can work, Jesus said. So we must work while it's still light. And so I got discipled. I got baptized in water because I could see you had to repent and then be baptized. My parents struggled with it because they'd christened me as a child. But when I saw the scripture, I saw no child being christened. I saw only people who had repented being baptized. So I was baptized for the first time up in Hot Water Beach. As I came out, I could feel the heavens open like Jesus. I felt the Spirit of God come upon me. But I still wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had every pastor and preacher lay hands upon me to speak in tongues. They were trying to push me over. They were trying to yell in my ear. They tried everything. They were massaging me. Shalalalala. And I got, in the end, I thought, what the heck? God, you need to give it to me. So I was milking cows at Okarari. And as I was milking the cows one day, I was just singing away. Next minute it was, Shalamasikata. And I went, the cows looked at me. The dog looked at me. Like, what the heck's happened to him? So then I began to pray over all the animals, and they started getting quiet, stopped kicking me. Then my brother-in-law milked that herd, and he said, what have you done to them? They're so flipping quiet, they won't move out of the bales. Please pray that they'll move along a little bit more. Then a cow had pink eye, blind eye, laid hands upon it, and it got completely healed. My brother-in-law came, got saved. I had brethren farmers all around me, didn't know about all this stuff, asked me to come and pray for them. And some of these guys got healed. Some of the Houghtons and the Elliots and different people. And then I started to think, God, what am I going to do? And God said, I want you to go to the nations and preach the gospel. Mark 16. And I went out and have been doing it for 35 years. The key to it is repent. Come to Christ, the light of the world. Turn from darkness. Wake up. says, "Arise from the dead, you sleeper, and turn back to Christ." I got rid of idols, I smashed Buddhas, I smashed a whole bunch of stuff that I'd brought home. I'd given as gifts. Thank God I had a wonderful bonfire, got rid of a whole bunch of stuff. And I actually watched the demons come out of them. We're in a world that literally is looking for a Savior. They're looking for the meaning and purpose to life. They're looking for truth. They're looking for freedom. They're looking to be set free inside. One of the greatest things that touched me is His love. Pure love casts out all fear. And that's the greatest of the Holy Spirit's presence, is God is love. That's the greatest fruit, is love. And it has melted my heart. I had put my heart in girls, I put my heart in friendships, and I watched even in animals. I watched my heart being shredded through, and God allows this to happen. When my cat got ran over, I wept for days and days and days. Child, I have no idea. My grandfather wept, I wasn't able to go to the funeral, and I wept for weeks and weeks. I so loved him, I didn't go to the funeral. And then when I had a girlfriend, I lost her, and I was gutted, I didn't know where to go. And so you end up lowering your own standards, you end up lowering your own ability and morality, looking for anything that will comfort and heal your lonely, broken heart. And I got into all forms of false comfort and escapism from drugs and alcohol. But when I came back to Christ, I found that He set me free. Haven't been drunk, haven't been stoned since, haven't slept with any other person except my dear wife. And we've been married over 29 years. Haven't touched, kissed, moved on any other human being. And I thank God that is the miraculous power of a loving God who can make me feel like a virgin, clean me back up, set me free, and break the chains. I know people who have literally felt demons on them, literally as they're sleeping, trying to suffocate them. Others of them trying to have sex with them. We're talking demonic presences that are straight from the pit of hell. These are real, real entities. It's not a joke. And if you don't get help, you could end up in a mental asylum. These spirits are spirits of death. They can come and actually help you commit suicide and take your life out. They're so strong. They're desperately wanting to destroy mankind because they are not created in the image of God. We are. They hate God. They hate us. The Lord's trying to come to you tonight. And I know it's not a normal service to talk about the demonic realm, but unfortunately the stuff that the kids are looking at nowadays is literally loaded up with this stuff. From the games they're playing through to the movies they're watching, it is literally embedded in every level of spiritual witchcraft and sorcery and occultism. The trouble is God is trying to get us to turn our eyes back to who? Jesus. The author and perfecter of our faith, to come into His loving arms and to get out of this place in one piece. But the bays are going to be like Noah. They're going to be like the days of Lot. Anger will fill, the violence will fill the earth, and sexual perversion will go rampant, unbelievably, uncontrollably down the hill. Anyone who knows what's going on are fleeing some of these countries. They're fleeing. New Zealand's like a heaven on earth. But trust me, New Zealand will not escape this. It's already here. The rot is already deep within society. God desperately wants to bring you out of the pollution and the filth you've been involved in. He wants to get you, even the garments that have been soiled with it, to be removed. I burnt some of the garments, the stuff that I used to use. This stuff was just loaded up. I burnt old girlfriend photographs, letters. I got rid of the whole lot so that I'd be free to be in love with one person, Jesus. No one else but Him and Him alone. It takes everything in your heart to give your whole heart to Christ. So before we go any further, I'd love to do an altar call. This might seem old-fashioned, but this guy that prayed for me, he said, come to the altar, those of burden heavy laden. Turn from darkness, turn from sin, and repent. And if you've been brought here tonight, hopefully you're not all leaving me. No, it's the musicians, that's good. Sometimes when you preach, you see people wander out, you think, gosh, what have I said? Upset them all, they're all gone now. My dad used to say, you just preach too long, son. And that's what it is. So I'd like to pray. Is that okay? I hope somehow the Spirit of God has touched you. I hope somehow some of this has made some sense to you. You may not have been into the stuff I've been into, but maybe some of it you have been. One thing I did know, sexual immorality, having sex before marriage, will literally join your spirit to that person. It's not just a physical act. Every other sin is outside the body. But he who sins sexually sins against their spirit. And when you pull apart, even though he said, oh, that was, we are mutually agreed, you literally tear the spirit, you tear the heart. That's why God joined that for marriage and marriage alone. But I thank God he can forgive and heal. So let's pray. If you'd like to join me in prayer, I'd love to help you pray and give your own life to Christ. If you make these words your prayer, God will hear them. He heard my prayer in an ambulance. He heard my prayer as I've been attacked in a bedroom on the other side of the world. His name is the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. It's the power of salvation. It's the power of deliverance. The name of Jesus will break chains in your life. So if you'd like to pray out loud with me, please pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you tonight. I turn from darkness and from evil, and I come to you, the light of the world. I humble myself and turn from my sins. Cleanse me, Jesus. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Wash my spirit as white as snow. Cleanse me, Lord. I forgive those who have sinned against. Those who have hurt me, I forgive them. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Set me free, Lord, to follow you all the days of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Set me on fire, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. If you pray that, can you put your right hand on your heart? It's with our heart we believe and with our mouth we confess. Romans 10 says, we are saved. And if you've done that for the first time, can you lift your left hand to heaven and just say, Lord, that's me. That's me. Thank you. I'm going to look because I'm actually preaching. So anyone else here saying, Lord, I want to come back to you. It's either first time or recommitment saying, I want to come back to you. I want to give my life fully to you. Okay. I see a number of hands. Can we just stand to our feet? I'm going to invite those who have raised their hands and in their heart said, Lord, I want to come to you. I want to come back out of that darkness into the light. Could you step like I did 35 years ago out into the aisle, come out of your seats. Maybe the first time, might be the 100th time, but you know that God's calling you back to himself. I'd like you to come forward. Come and kneel with me. If you'd like to come, young or old, please come now. We won't take too much more time. If you want to come, come with a friend. Just move past your people that are there and just say, I want to come. I want to follow the Lord. I want to devote my life fully to following Jesus. I'm sick of evil. I'm sick of darkness. I'm sick of deception. No matter how hard it might be, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come, can you just kneel, please? Just kneel before the Lord. It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Okay, we have three people. Anyone else want to come? If your friend's up here, come and kneel with them, please. If you've got a friend up here that's kneeling, I'd like you to come and put your hand on their shoulder and come and pray with your friend. It could be a mate, could be a neighbor, could be someone you go to school with. I don't know who that might be. It might be someone, it could be a parent or a loved one. It could be someone you work with. But it requires someone to have prayed for you, to have got you here tonight. And Jesus looks for tears. Jesus looks for broken hearts. Jesus looks for humility because he is humble. And he gives grace to the humble. He wants people to be set free from deception of new age and witchcraft and the occult. I mean, I've burnt the Ouija boards and all this stuff to rot guys straight from the pit of hell. My God, you don't need to look at horoscopes. You just need to look at the Lord. How horrible, mate. Flipping evil. And look at your star sign. Look at the King of Glory, the light of the world. Let him shine into your heart. Anyone else want to come? Have to go to mediums and clairvoyance to talk to demons and trying to contact your dead relatives or your loved ones. You're going to be talking to demons, not to them. Don't you dare let those clairvoyance and mediums tell you otherwise. They're straight from the pit of hell. Come on, church, reach your right hand out. Don't go and pray to the dead. They're dead. They're gone. They're judged. You're not talking to your dead relative. You're not talking to them. You don't need to go into grave sites and talk to them. They're gone. They're no longer in those bodies. If you end up talking to anything, it's a spiritual demon of darkness that knows those families only too well. Come on, church, reach out and bless them. Those who are kneeling, just lift your hands out to heaven. I don't know, a flower opens its petals up to the sun. And I knew lifting my hands up, right over my heart, the protection that I had, the defense system dropped. And I let the light of heaven shine upon me, the loving Savior. His presence melted my heart. It was so loving, so pure, so much light, so much freedom. So Lord, fill these people, fill their hearts, fill their spirits with light. Break off every deception. Let the truth set them free, Lord. Let the demonic realm that have been attacking them, spirits of death, destruction, even in their grief, Lord, where they're looking for answers, help them to turn to you. Even the loss of loved ones who they've given their heart to, help them to get their heart back. In Jesus' precious name. Masiata shamasikia. Yeshuria masikiata. Yesikiata. If someone hasn't got someone praying for them, give some of the ministry team, just come and pray. Just lay hands upon them. Some of the leaders and some of the ministry team, just come and make sure everyone's got someone praying for them. Someone blessing them. Someone around them that loves them, cares for them. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for light. We thank you for the radiance of heaven. We thank you for the glory of God. We thank you for deliverance. And I also ask, if you've been tormented and you're having demonic attack, I'd like you to come forward too. If you've had demonic attack and you're feeling as though you've been tormented and you're being assailed, I'd like you to come forward. And we're going to get some people praying for you too. Because I tell you what, they are so real. In the hours of darkness, they can come. And the Bible says when a man falls from being a Christian, it's like going back to a pig, back into the mire. And I know what that's like. It's very, very strong realms that come and attack people. So don't you dare judge anybody. You just thank God that people that are coming for help. They're not coming to say that they've got it all sorted. They're coming to say, I want to be open to the light. The Bible says, expose the deeds of darkness to the light. And remove every foothold the devil might have. So can we have some more people just come and pray with these dear folks? If you know them, if you love them, I'd like you just to come and pray with them, talk to them, find out what's going on so that you can say, what's happening in your life? What is it that's been assailing you? What is it that's been tormenting you? What is it that you've been struggling with? Because some people have some very heavy stuff. Very heavy stuff. Just if we have some ministry team of people operate in deliverance, please just come and help. One of the greatest things is to see freedom. Have someone who's close enough to be open and honest with. So often we don't have people we can talk to. The Bible says that we are to openly talk and pray for one another and to help each other through this battle and journey. The fact that you could be demonized doesn't mean you're demon possessed. It means that you are struggling with spiritual forces that are assailing you, that are taking advantage of your woundedness and brokenness. We won't sing just yet if that's okay. Just want to have a bit more time so they can hear what they're praying. Is there one more gentleman? Do you need someone to pray with? Okay. We have just a few more people to come over to the left, to my left. Isn't it nice to know we're on a journey, isn't it? We're on a journey. Thank God there are more angels than demons. Thank God the fire of heaven and the name of Jesus is more powerful. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We don't need to consult the dead. We consult the living Christ, who was once dead but is alive. We live for Him. We live for the Savior who is alive.